Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Well, good morning, Rolling Hills Church family, and happy Easter. He is risen, and we have come to celebrate a risen Savior today, and I'm so thankful that you're here. You know, if Jesus is alive, that means everything in our life can come alive, that we can have purpose, we can have peace, we can have hope, because Jesus conquered death and made a way for every one of us to experience what life is truly all about, and that is the Father loving us. Man, welcome to everybody here at Franklin campus. Welcome to our online campus. Man, I love Easter. I just love everything about Easter. I love that it's in the spring. We're coming out of the darkness and the death and the cold of winter, right? The light, the warmth, the love, the light of spring. Man, I just love it. I love everything that goes around Easter, the church gathered together, worshiping families together. I loved Easter Jam yesterday. We had 35,000 eggs out there, you know, and a helicopter dropping them. But to see the joy of all the kids just running, laughing, smiling, and sharing eggs. And I thought, it's just fun. I mean, there's just so many great things that are just fun around Easter. But what makes Easter so special is this, is that God invites you into the story. God says, you matter to me. And sometimes we can think, oh, there's a lot of things going on out there world. You know, we can watch the news and we just kind of get overwhelmed. But when you start to realize Easter is God drawing you to himself and saying, you matter. And I've got a plan and a purpose for you. We've been in this great Easter series talking about Jesus' greatest stories. And the way Jesus taught in parables. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this was rabbinical teaching. This is the way they would teach stories. But Jesus always went right to the heart of the listener. Jesus went for that aha moment where you would discover, you go, oh, that's me. And so we know we love stories, right? Guys, we love movies, you know. Women a lot of times like to read books. We love love stories or action stories, adventure stories. We love stories. But Jesus' stories are different. They're not just about entertainment or behavior modification. It's about life transformation. It's about God speaking to you. And that's the power of Jesus' story. So today we come to one of Jesus' greatest stories, I believe, of all time. And what I want you to see today is that God wants to speak to you. God has a plan and purpose for you. You know, whenever you fly, and maybe, you know, at Easter time, you've been traveling or you've been traveling recently, Easter, a lot of times you concentrate on everybody else. But whenever you fly, you get on the plane, and the flight attendants, they give the same safety speech, right? And most people just tune it out. They're scrolling, right, or they're texting or something like that until there's turbulence. And they go, what'd they say, right? You know, but they give the same speech. They say, in the event of a loss of cabin pressure, plastic masks will fall from the ceiling. Place the mask over your nose and mouth and begin breathing normally. Like anybody's going to breathe normally at that point. You know, nobody's like, ah, but you know, they'll breathe normally, right? But then they say this. If you're traveling with a small child, place the mask over your nose and mouth first and then over your child. Why do they do that? Because if you're a parent, you're going to be like, oh, man, make sure my kid's okay. I'm going to make sure everybody's okay. And you're going to be thinking about everybody else. But what they know is this. If you're not healthy, nobody around you is going to be healthy. Right? If you're in trouble and you're going down, then you're not going to be able to take care of the people around you. And I believe Easter is God coming to us and saying, I want you to be healthy. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, I want you to be healthy because it impacts every relationship that you have. It impacts your marriage, impacts your parenting, it impacts your friends, your roommates, right? The people around you, because God wants you to be healthy. And it all starts with Easter. It starts with Jesus. And that's what God's inviting you to today. So if you have a Bible with you today, I invite you up with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Oh, this is so good, right? Luke chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles in the back at all of our campuses. You can grab a Bible. It's yours. It's free. Just put your name in it. Love for you to have the scripture with you. Also, if you've got a phone with you, you know, you can access the scripture right there on our Rolling Hills app, our Church Center app. In fact, if you don't have the app, go ahead and take a minute, download it, because a lot of great information, lots of Bible study you can have during the week as well. But Luke chapter 15, and this is red letter, right? These are the very words of Jesus we're diving into. But Luke chapter 15 starts, and Jesus is teaching, and then he goes and has a meal with some sinners and tax collectors. Okay, so tax collectors were even below sinners. Okay, they were really bad, okay, you know. But Jesus was hanging out with them, and Jesus was talking with them, and they were having a great time. They're eating a meal together, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were over there like judging Jesus. They're like, what's he doing hanging out with these people? And so Jesus tells a story. He tells a story. Pick it up, Luke 15, verse 11. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. All right, now a lot of times we kind of gloss over this. We go, oh yeah, he was like, I'm running away from home kind of thing or whatever. But no, when you really dive into this, you know what he's saying? Dad, I wish you were dead. I hate you. I want my inheritance. I want it now. I'm out. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around this family. I'm out of here. Oh, wow. It says, so he divided his property between them. See, back then, right, they didn't have like money in the bank or stocks. It was like all in the land. And so when he says, I mean, give you your inheritance, the older got double portion, but then the younger, there's a third that they're going to have to sell the land. And you know, they're going around to all the village, hey, you want to buy some land? They're like, why? Well, my younger son hates me. He wants to leave. But he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. The kid goes and he parties like a rock star, right? I mean, like he's in every bar, buying drinks for everybody, you know, just doing all this stuff, right? And going crazy nuts. And he thinks, man, I'm living this good life. And then after he'd spent everything there, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. All of a sudden, the money runs out, and people he thought were friends, who were just there for the free drinks, like they are gone. And he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Now, the first century listeners have been like, whoa, yikes, rock bottom, okay? Because the Jews, they hate pigs. I mean, they won't even be around pigs, right? They're unclean, Old Testament. And so, like, for this Jewish boy to be in a pig pen feeding pigs, I mean, he's talking about the lowest part of his life. You ever been there? You ever been lonely? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Nobody cared about him. Alone, in a pig pen, rock bottom in life. But then verse 17, I got to tell you, if you underline your Bible, underline this verse, because it is so powerful. It says, when he came to his senses. He's at the lowest point of his life, and it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He starts thinking about home. Starts thinking about home. I will set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants, right? He just sits down. He starts writing out this speech. Here you go, Dad. Here's what I'm going to say. So he got up and he went to his father. He got up, right? He starts going back home and ready to give this whole speech to his dad. But look what it says. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. You know, he's looking for him. He's waiting for him. And he sees him and he just sprints. He's just running to his son. Now, back then, right, men didn't run. It was embarrassing, okay? Like back then, like if you were a man or you were a granddad, you were the patriarch, right? You didn't run because that meant you kind of had to hike your robe up, right, and tuck it in. You're exposing your legs and you're like, you just didn't do that, right? But this dad did. Jesus said this dad didn't care, but everybody else thought he's going to his son. He's going to his son. He runs to his son. You know why else he ran to his son? Because back in Jewish custom, Jewish tradition, there was a thing called keza. Back then, they lived in villages, right? And so the whole community would come together many times to make judgments. And if a son or a daughter was disobedient, like especially to this level, it says in the Old Testament that they should be stoned. And so the whole village would come together and have a keza meeting, and the dad wasn't allowed to come. The mom could come and plead for their son or their daughter, but the dad couldn't come. And if the whole village found them guilty, they would meet that son or that daughter right there, and they would take a clay pot and they would throw it and break it at the foot of the one who sinned so grievously, and then inside would be stones. And if it was so bad, they could pick up those stones and stone them right there to death. Or at least just say, hey, you're never welcome back in this community. The shame. This kid's walking home, right? Not knowing if he's going to get keza, but what he finds, right, is a father who runs at him and throws his arms around him. And he kissed him. And the son pushes him away. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, right? He starts to just go, hold on, Dad, I got this whole speech. Right? I've been running this thing, right? I've sinned against heaven, against you. And Dad's like, yeah, you have. You've sinned. And then he says this, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father interrupts him. And the father said to his servants, quick. He just kind of interrupts him. He's like, you're no longer worthy to be called my son. Listen, were you ever worthy? Did you do anything to earn it? He doesn't even let him get to the part about make me a hired servant, does he? He just says, quick. Bring the best robe. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Hey, keza, don't worry about it. My son's home. I'm putting the robe on him. He's mine. Put the best robe on him and put a ring on his finger. Hey, that's power of attorney. Are you kidding? You give the kid power of attorney, right? Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Back then, slaves would go barefoot. It was the ones in the family that wore sandals. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Praise be to God. But remember, this is about two sons. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked, what's going on? Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. And you think this brother would be like, yes, my brother's home. All right, praise God, way to go. I've been praying for him. Oh, no. The older brother became angry, and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, ! Talk about disrespect right there. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, nope, this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed a fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Oh, what a story and what a God. Oh, praise be to God. All right, if you're taking notes today, here's some things I would love for you to write down. If you've got a worship guide or you've got your phone, you want to access the scripture there and access a place to take notes on the app, man, I want you to see this today. See, the parable of the prodigal son illustrates what Easter is all about, right? Parable, earthly story, heavenly meaning. The parable is what Jesus told, red letters, and it illustrates Easter. It's everything Jesus was saying, everything Jesus did for us. Look at this. There was a man who had two sons. Don't miss that. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Prodigal means one who spends foolishly and or lives rebelliously. For every one of us, there was a point in our lives when we were the prodigal. Every one of us, there was a point in our lives when we rebelled against God. But the story could also be called the parable of the lost sons. Maybe that's the heading that you have in your Bible right here, the parable of the lost son. But there's really two sons. The parable of the lost sons. Sometimes we go, well, that's kind of not me, right? You know, well, which one is me? But most accurately, Jesus' story is really the parable of the loving father. This is really all about God. This is who God is, his very character, his very nature. You know what's powerful to me in this story? Is this. When the son comes to the father and says, Father, I want my inheritance now, he gives it to him. I mean, literally, right? I mean, that, It's kind of shocking. He could have said, no, what are you kidding me? Right? Like, I'm still alive. You know, I, no. But he does. Why? See, when God created you and God created me, he created us with this thing called free will. We can make a choice. We can decide. God in his sovereignty created the whole world, right? You may remember, right? God created man. God put man in this beautiful garden, Adam and Eve. Things are great, right? All these trees that you can eat from. It's amazing. There's no allergies. It's awesome, right? Garden of Eden, fantastic. And they're in right relationship with God, right relationship with each other. All the animals are tame. It's wonderful. And then God says, this one tree right over here, don't eat from that. All of this is yours. And they go, well, that tree? Now, why did God even put the tree there? Because love's only love if you choose to love. Right? If you force somebody to love you, do they really love you? Or are they a robot? Are they a slave? And so God says, my sovereignty, I'm going to give you free will. You can choose to follow. You can choose to trust. You can choose to sin. We know that, right? And we choose to sin a lot. But here's something else that this son knew about the dad. When he came to his senses, when he started thinking about his father, even though his father had given him the inheritance, he realized, wait a minute, my dad, he's a good man. My dad's a man of character. My dad, I can go home. I can go home. See, a lot of people think what I've done in my life, I've sinned so much that I can never go back to God. That God's not going to receive me, right? I've made some really bad decisions. I've made some really bad mistakes. I've done some things with people I shouldn't have done. And you just kind of run that play in your mind over and over again. And every time God's drawing you back, and every time you kind of stiff-arm God, you go, oh, no, you don't understand. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God? Do you think God's mad at you? That's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think God's up there and he's just mad at me, right? Every time I sin, oh, my car's not going to start now. That's it, you know, right? I sinned, right? Now I'm going to get a speeding ticket, right? See, I knew it, right? That's what happens, karma, right? That's what we think. God's just mad at us all the time. And that's not God. That's not the God of Easter. That's not the God of the Bible. There is a God who loves. There's a God of grace. Do you know the character of God? A God who's full of compassion, who's slow to anger, abounding in love. There is a God of justice, yes, but there is a God of mercy. That's what we see at Easter. Listen, there is an opportunity for every person to repent and come back to God. Don't miss that today. There is an opportunity for every single person to repent and to come back to God. I love this. When he came to his senses, have you had that moment in your life? If not, why not today? Why not today? See, like the prodigal son, through sin, each of us have walked away from the Father. Each of us through sin. Now you've got a holy God and you have sinful man, right? We've all sinned and we've walked away from the Father. We can put ourselves right there in this story at some point in our lives. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not a newsflash. Every one of us, we can think about the sins in our lives, right? Satan reminds us of those sins. Maybe you think about the sins from this weekend. You're like, why did I say that? Oh, why did I let anger get the best of me? Why did I watch that? Why did I do that, right? All this time, there's an enemy that wars against us. But what keeps us from coming back to God is this, pride. Pride. How many people have stayed in the pig pen? How many people have thought, like this kid could have thought, right? I could do it myself. I can make it myself. But fortunately, he pushed past the pride and said, no, I'm going to go back to the Father. But remember, there's two sons. What about the older son? The older son didn't leave, but he was just as far from the Father. The older son was out there, right, arms crossed, like, ah, I know. My dad's welcoming him back. You owe me. Look, look at what I've done. I've been doing all this. See, maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've been around God. Maybe you've been around the Father. But yet in your life, there's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of anger. And maybe even toward God. God, why am I here at this point in my life? God, do you see me? Look at all I've been doing. I'm good, right? I made some good decisions, right? But for both of them, it was about the things of the Father. I want a young goat. I want this. Dad, I wish you were dead. I'll take the inheritance right now. He's just as far from the Father. See, repent means to turn around, right? You're going one way, and you turn around. You come back. You come back to the heart of God. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." When you sin, when I sin, right? We were separated from God, holy God, sinful man. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise be to God. Because the fact is this, Jesus came and lived 33 sinless years and he died on a cross for you and for me. Easter is all about the Father running to you. That Jesus paid the price that we should have paid. It should have been us on that cross. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus took your place. Jesus paid your price. I love the Father running to us. It says, but while he was still a long way off, that Father looking down the road, waiting for his son to come home, his Father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. It says in Romans, it tells us this, 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. You don't have to get cleaned up to come to God. And this young son's covered in poop and mud and pig stuff, right? I mean, like he's covered and the dad just wraps his arm around him. While we were still sinners, while we were in our brokenness, while we were in our hurt, while we were in our pain, Christ died for us. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. In 1669, there was a painter named Rembrandt. And Rembrandt, just a couple of years before he died, painted what many people call the greatest painting ever painted. It hangs in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, and it depicts this scene right here. This painting is so powerful. People come from all over the world just to sit and look. 30 years earlier, Rembrandt painted this. But he had the prodigal's face turned, and it was his face. It was him. And now, 30 years later, he paints the return of the prodigal. But if you look this time, look at the light. It's on the Father's face. And it's on the Father's hands. Rembrandt painted one of the hands of the Father. The left hand is strong, protecting his son from Keza, shame, the guilt, welcoming home. The right hand he painted more feminine, more nurturing, more caring, and that compassion. But Rembrandt also painted the older brother. The older brother there to the right, standing, arms kind of crossed, judging. Henry Nouwen, a Dutch priest, spent hours studying this painting, and he says, Rembrandt is as much the elder son in the parable as the younger. When during his last years of his life, he painted both sons in the return of the prodigal son, he had lived a life in which neither the lostness of the younger son nor the lostness of the elder son was alien to him. Both needed healing and forgiveness. Both needed to come home. Both needed the embrace of a loving father. But from the story itself, as well as from Rembrandt's painting, it is clear that the hardest conversion to go through is the conversion of the one who stayed at home. Sometimes we can be like the older brother. And we can stand there and be judgmental, and we can be arms crossed instead of turning around and embracing the heart of the Father and saying, I'm going to love. I'm going to love. Even those who've done me wrong, right? I'm going to care. I'm going to offer compassion. I'm going to offer grace because there's a world that's in need. And I could be over there and God, you owe me, right? I want more stuff for me, right? Even though I have, you know, most of all this is mine now, right? But no, it's not enough. God, I'm going to hold a judge and I'm going to be, no. And God's going, hold on. Hold on. Look what I've done for you. Remember when you were there? See, there's this. There's joy when we return to the Father. Whether we're younger or whether we're older, whether we're toward the last years of our life or the early years of our life, there is joy when we return to the Father. Listen, quick. Bring the best robe, not just any robe. bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. The father was waiting and expecting the son to return. You know, everybody was happy that this younger son was home except the older brother and the fattened calf. He wasn't really happy about it, right? Right? He was like, what? He's back? Ugh, you know? I've been eating so well, right? But you know what? When do you start fattening up a calf? It's not when the son came home, is it? See, I believe this. I believe as soon as the son left, the dad goes, start fattening the calf. Start fattening the calf. Because they're going to come back. They're going to come back and we're going to be ready. And we're going to celebrate. Guys, listen. If you declare with your mouth, the Bible tells us this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't ever think that you're too far gone for God. Don't ever think that in your life I've done too much bad things. I've messed up too much. Listen, I can't. No, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And in that moment that you turn back to God, you find he's right there. In God's sovereignty and his grace, he already knew. He's coming home. She's coming home. Welcome back. See, the son thought he would receive condemnation. That's what he thought. He's walking down that path and going, oh man, not only is the village going to be mad, my dad's going to be mad, I'm going to be in trouble. But what he found was this, a celebration. Yeah, there were still consequences for what he did. And yeah, there was going to be years to work through that. But listen, he didn't find the condemnation. He found a party. You know, the kingdom of heaven's a party. And our God created it. Our God created joy. How cool is that? Our God created love. How cool is that, right? That is the God that we know. It tells us in Romans, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So often what we think is one day I'm going to stand before God and he's going to run through, right? It's going to be like an Instagram scroll of all my mistakes and all my sins. Like, oh man, you remember when you were in high school? Woo, yeah, uh-huh. You remember her, remember him, right? Yeah. And then you keep going to college and then you keep going. And you know what? That is a lie from Satan. The Bible tells us this, when you are forgiven, right, he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. When you come back to God, you know what it says? You are clothed in the best robe, which is this, the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see all your mistakes. He doesn't see all your failures. He doesn't see all your mess ups. He looks at you and sees Jesus. He says, that's my son. That's my daughter. And they're home. Listen, God's grace means that you can't earn it. You can't earn it. We're never going to be good enough. You got to receive it. You got to receive it. Will you receive it today? C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors of all time, right? He's 32 years old, 1931. He's wealthy, successful, professor at Oxford, at Cambridge, and yet he's empty. He said, I had everything that the world would have to offer, right? Money, fame, all of that. And yet inside I was empty. I knew there had to be something more. His friend J.R.R. Tolkien, right, Lord of the Rings, you know, he starts talking to him about Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, I was the most reluctant convert in all of England, but I knew that I didn't want to live in this loneliness and this brokenness and this hurt and this pain any longer. And he said, I came home. He asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. I declare with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And Jesus came into his heart and his life, and he wrote his autobiography. He said, surprised by joy. He said, I never thought that being a Christian was where joy is. And peace and hope. He said, I thought it was in the world and it left me broken and empty. But there is a God of joy. There is a God who invites you home. Oh, do you know that God today? Do you know that God today? See, it's not about religion. It's not about religion. And so often we grew up thinking that. And maybe you grew up. Maybe you grew up in a Catholic church, a Baptist church, Methodist church, or a Presbyterian church. But you all thought it was religion, right? You thought if my good can outweigh my bad, just like this older brother, right? If I can be really good, maybe God will accept me. Maybe, maybe, maybe. No, 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 no. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the Father. It's about a relationship with God. The older brother, he became angry. And he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Notice the father went to both sons. The father went out to both sons. He went to the prodigal who was a long way off and he runs to him. But then he leaves the party and goes to the older son. And maybe today, you're right there, man. Maybe today life hasn't turned out the way you thought, and you're mad at God. And you're like, God, why? Seems like you're taking care of everybody else, but what about me? And maybe there's bitterness in your life. Maybe there's rage in your life. Maybe you're mad at somebody, your spouse or your kids or your friends or whatever. But ultimately, you're going, God, listen, I don't know. I've been slaving away for you, Father. It just looks like you forgot about me. Would you hear a God today who comes to you and says, listen, I've taken care of you. I provided for you. Look, you got breath in your lungs. You got clothes. You live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. Don't live in that bitterness and that anger and that resentment. Listen, live in the love and the joy and the grace. Live the life that God has for you. See, religion is about what we do. It's about what we do. And every other major world religion in the world is about man trying to get to God. If I could just be good enough, right? But Christianity is God coming to us. A relationship is about what he's done. And that's what Easter's all about. When we were dead in our sins, when we were in that pig pen, God sent his son, Jesus, who came to this earth, who lived 33 sinless years, right? The perfect sacrifice, who goes to the cross for you, who dies the death that we should have died. But then death couldn't keep him in the ground. Oh no, our God raised Jesus from the dead and we can celebrate. We have everything. We have the love and the grace of God, so let's live as people of Easter. Let's live as people of the Father. Let's be kind and graceful and love and compassionate, just like God is to us. Hey, guys, will you come home today? Will you come home today? Not just everybody else. Listen, this is you. There is a God who is running to you today. You know what's amazing about this story? Is the prodigal came home, but we don't know about the older brother. Jesus leaves us hanging, right? Jesus doesn't tell us if he comes into the party or not, if he stays out in his pride and his arrogance, if he stays out there trying to earn it on his own, if he stays out there bitter and mad, or if he goes, yeah, let's go celebrate. I want that joy. I want that grace. I want that peace. I want that purpose. Listen, I was 8 years old when I committed my life to Christ. Greatest decision of my life. I've never regretted it for a moment. Doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or you're 32, like C.S. Lewis. I want to tell you, when you are in Christ, the rest of your life can be the best of your life. Why not today, Easter 2024? I'm putting a stake in the ground. I'm following Jesus. I want to come home. I want to live my life for the glory of God. I want the rest of my life to be the best for God's name. I want to serve him. You know, here's the fact, right? One day, every single one of us, we're going to stand before God. The mortality rate today, it's 100%, right? I'm just telling you, right? We don't like to think about it, but it's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen. I'll give you the final exam. One day, we're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask us two questions. The first is this. What did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do? Was there ever a time that you repented, that you came home? Was there ever a time that you said, Jesus, I can't earn it. I receive your grace. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Or did you say no? No, I don't need you, God. I'm good. I'm going to live in this bitterness, this anger, this resentment. Is there a time you came home? The second question he's going to ask you is this. What did you do with what you've been given? What did you do with what you've been given? Was it just for yourself? Or did you use it for the glory of God? Use it to bless others, to encourage others, to help others, to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Would you come home today? On your worship guide, there's that connection card. And I want to invite you to take that out right now. Just everybody, you got this connection card. You got this worship guide. And this is for every single one of us. This is an all skate right here, okay? So everybody get that out. It's perforated, so you could tear that off. But I want you to see on the back. On the back, there's A, B, C, or D. And listen, you know what? You'll do an annual physical, won't you? Just to go to the doctor, make sure you're healthy. You want to get checked out physically. You'll go to a financial advisor maybe once a year to see if you're on course, on track. Easter is the time to see if you're spiritually healthy. Easter's the time to go, okay, God, search me. Am I healthy? Am I growing in my relationship with you? Am I loving my spouse? Am I loving my kids? Am I living the life you want me to live? So maybe today you just want to say, hey, I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to come home. I'm tired of being lonely. Tired of living in fear. I'm accepting Jesus. Maybe today you just go, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of my faith. And you know what? Pride's really been keeping me from being baptized. I mean, like, oh, that's good for everybody else, but God's saying, no, you. Jesus was 30 when he was baptized as an example for us, right? Or maybe see, listen, I'm committed. I'm committed to Jesus. I want the rest of my life. I want to live for him. I want to live for the heart of the Father. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the party. Or maybe D, I don't know, but I sure want to talk with somebody. This is way too important, right? This is eternity at stake. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Like, I want to know. I want to talk about this. I want to give you time, just you and God right here. And you can mark one of these. If you have a prayer request, you could write that down. But right now, in this moment, listen, there is a God who is running to you. How do you respond to him?
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app. Follow us on social media or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.